This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, check out this meatball machine.
You are a meatball machine.
Hey, meatball machine.
Ah, you know what that music means. That means we have asked you to tell us some things and get some things off your chest. It is the meatball machine. I think this is the first one we've done with the Cubs, right?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think this might be the first one. And it was built on the question we had after watching the first two games of the season against the Dodgers, who might go 162-0.
I mean, they're on pace.
They might go 162-0. And the question is, what do you want to see or what do you need to see out of the Cubs over their next five games before they open against the Diamondbacks in Arizona? For real.
Yeah. For real. And we said there are things we need to see. I need to see Seiya Suzuki not looking like he's lost at the plate. I need to see...
when the bases are loaded.
I need to see Craig Counsell adjust his lineup to reflect good hitters batting closer to the top of said batting order.
I like seeing Dansby Swanson look like his old self a bit.
Yes. I need to see Justin Steele and Shota Imanaga and the rest of the starting rotation.
Hey, Chicago, it's Dansby Swanson.
Looking good.
Is it that one or is it the other one?
No, that's it. I think
that's the one.
I think we're desensitizing ourselves to it.
No,
it's just not as good.
It's Dansby Swanson.
Dansby Swanson.
Dansby.
The Lawrence head shake while he says with Dansby.
With the imaginary jowls.
When I covered news, when I was a news reporter in East Texas, there was a judge that was very hellfire and brimstone, and he did like purposefully shake his head while he talked with a bass voice. It was incredible. He could really sentence people.
I used to wonder why people couldn't just either be hellfire or brimstone. Why's it got to be both?
I think some people may be one or the other.
Okay. Well, listen, back to this meatball machine. We ask you, what do you need to see? What do you want to see from the Cubs between now and the start of the regular season? And you responded in kind. Let's take a whirl around that machine that does the meatball thing.
Hey, meatball machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cubs baseball.
Losing machine.
Oh, no.
The 2025 Chicago Cub bats have secretly been replaced by the 2024 Chicago Cubs bats.
Oh,
Bears.
not Bears.
Hey, talking about the Cubs and those two games, I agree, it's just two games. We shouldn't panic. It's just the way they lost the games. It was very typical of last year and even the year before that, really. They took a few walks, great. But the clutch pitching, nope. Clutch hitting, nope. Pretty much the same stuff, if you ask me.
The complacency.
My wish is that the Cubs would lose the next 160 games, making them 0-162. And if they get shut out in all of those games, that would be a bonus. Thank you.
So polite.
Thank you.
Losing machine.
Oh my goodness.
So many losing machines.
Hey, Meatball Machine. Just cooking up some breakfast right now. The Cubs. What do I think? I would love for Ricketts to look me in the eye and explain to me why trading away Yu Darvish was the right move and not at all a complete money move. And explain to me why people should pay the marquee sports subscription just to watch a dying sport. God, I don't know. I was gonna try to answer the question seriously, but it's baseball. I haven't watched it since Yu Darvish was traded. I don't know if you can tell I'm bitter about that. And I just can't afford to pay it, so I'm sorry. It's not a real answer.
Man, that's tough.
I love the coming to the conclusion there.
Hello there.
Sorry about that.
Wait, that was the entire call?
Yeah, that was it. That was the last one.
So he sounds like he just got done disposing of some meatballs and, you know, had a little regurgitation, if you will. All right, we appreciate you guys giving the meatball machine a spin. We're going to revisit that from time to time. We want to get your feedback, your opinions. And
hello there.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I understand.
That really was it, and then they hung up.
That was it.
Those first two games have
brilliant.
A lot of people feeling a little Cubs indigestion, if you will, because that was not soothing to their stomach. They need some Pepto-Bismol to go with that. You know, that's where we are right now. 0-2, but it's not that you're 0-2. The beautiful thing about baseball is because they play pretty much every day. You lose a game, who cares? You got another game tomorrow. No, you're 0-2, and now you got to wait a week to see your team again. Eight
losing
days in total.
Machine.
Yeah, so
I think the question that we really need to ask is, was that belch better than Baldy's belch last week on the morning show?
Let's play him back to back.
Let's hear him.
Well, I mean, Ryan Poles is the one that has to write the check. So, you know, he has to justify it himself, you know, the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, that ultimately he wrote the check. And so that's a factor. Now, as a fan or, you know, as an analyst or whatever, you know, we're trying to look closer too, because it does mean a lot getting the guy to the ground and getting the numbers. It doesn't always transfer. Like, there's a lot of guys that get a lot of pressures.
Okay, that was Baldy.
All right,
that was a full-fledged bodily function there.
This next one, this guy, is Sean in Crystal Lake.
Hello there.
Sorry about that.
Okay, Sean sounds a little more Homer Simpson-ish, correct?
Yeah,
definitely.
And he had that thing stored up and was ready to go with it.
Brian yeah, that felt intentional.
I think Brian Baldinger's was more like, oh, I guess this is happening. I guess I can't stop it from happening, so let's just hopefully it's silent, but it wasn't silent.
Yeah, because you heard him.
He tried to swallow the belt.
He cleared his throat at one point. Yeah. But
he tried to swallow that burp. Belch, whatever you want to call it, and he just couldn't quite get it down. Couldn't keep it down. But that's probably the way a lot of Cubs fans are feeling about the way this season has started. Like, I would like to keep this down, but nah, it's erupting. Now, if only their offense would erupt runs.
That's it. It's the no home runs. It's the two doubles and six singles. One of those doubles was, I don't know, it counted, but it was pretty much toward the end.
I mean, to be fair, You're talking about the Kyle Tucker double, right?
Yeah.
That set up Matt Shaw with a chance to tie the game on one swing. How often
often do you get a chance against the Dodgers? The third inning when Roky Sasaki loaded the bases and they had two more at bats with the heart of their lineup up and nobody wanted to do anything. One of those guys gets a pass. The other one does not.
I was going to finish my question. How often do you get a chance to tie a game in the ninth inning in which you have been woeful on offense for the previous two games? You know, so they had a chance at least to tie. Because if he doesn't get that double, maybe they don't have a chance.
Sox baseball, and even they had a lot of chances.
Don't do that.
Even they had a lot of chances.
Don't make this about the Sox.
The Sox, there was a stretch where the Sox hit some home runs.
I'm just sad. That actually makes me. We had a texter 847. How many White Sox fans on the Cubs meatball machine? Do you feel like any of those were White Sox fans trolling? I don't know.
I don't think so. But yeah. Studs, you were the one who heard everything.
They all felt pretty genuine.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was very similar Cubs discussion related things. Like it's also, if there were White Sox fans trolling the Cubs on the meatball machine, who can blame them right now?
Don't worry. My goal is the White Sox sweep the Angels and we open up that meatball machine to White Sox fans and say, "How do you feel?" That's a goal. The Angels are not good. Okay. Y'all are both looking at me kind of dismissing me, but the Angels aren't good. Is it out of the realm of possibility that the White Sox get a sweep to start the season, regardless of how the season goes?
The Angels have a collection of players who are good at times and then a perennial all-star who's not always healthy. Like that's the issue when it comes to the Angels. The Angels are a massive collection of the NBA on TNT who you play for.
You could argue the White Sox are a group from that same cut from that same cloth.
Who
he play for?
It harkens back to the segment we did where we put everybody in categories, like actual contenders and playoffs for real and into
categories. Is that a game show on the afternoon show?
Why, yes, it is. Yes. But like, who's starting for the Angels on opening day?
I don't know, and I probably won't know until we're at Wings and Rings. That's when I will figure out who's starting for the Angels on opening day.
Kyle Hendricks is on the team.
Is he starting opening day?
It might be Kikuchi.
Okay.
You say?
Maybe. But I forgot Kyle Hendricks was on the Angels. Okay.
That's my point. It's such a random collection of people.
So, no, but we appreciate those of you who participated in the meatball machine.
We don't know who's starting opening day for the Cubs. Like, that's a big discussion this week. Are you going to start your rotation over? Or are you going to let some other guys start before Shota and still get the ball again?
Start over. Put your best, whoever you feel like your best three pitchers are, start them in the correct order against the Diamondbacks.
It is Kikuchi for...
They've already announced it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no way around that name.
They put that on February 20th. Oh, it was like the start of camp.
That Kikuchi was going to be the opening day starter?
Yeah, there's a tweet by the Angels on February 20th that Kikuchi is opening day starter.
Against Sean Burke.
They'd had pitchers and catchers in camp for like a week at that point, right? So not the start, but the start-ish start. So for the White Sox and the Cubs, the goals are different. The Cubs' goal is to win the World Series. The White Sox goal is to get way better than they were last year.
I think the Cubs' goal is to make the playoffs.
I think if you ask the players in that clubhouse, their goal is to...
Yeah, I'm thinking about it from a front office standpoint.
Front office. Well, yeah, Jed Hoyer's trying to save his job, so yes. That the first step is to get a day two.
I don't know that he's necessarily trying to save his job. I think he's just doing what he thinks are the best decisions for the team in this year he has left.
So he doesn't want to be in charge of the
Cubs
anymore?
Do you think that he's in a position where he's trying to save his job or that his contract just happens to be up the year before the CBA is done?
I think he's trying to save his job. I think he's in an awkward situation where he's both trying to save his job and get the Cubs to the playoffs, and I think the two are aligned.
Like, trying to save your job would have been trading all of your prospects. You know, that would have been...
I feel like he tried to trade a lot of them. He and he's not done. I would be shocked if they're done trading. That means something's going horribly wrong. Because if you're trying to make the playoffs and you're in position to make the playoffs towards the deadline, you will try to make your team stronger.
I mean, Cam Smith, there are a couple where I worry that they're going to haunt us for a while.
Kyle Tucker.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Cam Smith for Kyle Tucker when the Astros are already so positive about him.
Kyle Tucker. I'll just say, like, without Kyle Tucker, what would you think of this Cubs team? Not much.
Totally different situation.
Yeah, so they had to make those trades. And I think they will still trade for a frontline starter if one becomes available. And they'll trade prospects for that, too. Because, again, prospects have to have room to grow, a.k.a. reach the major league level. There's a lot of stoppage at the major league level right now with guys under contracts, unless you're going to move them, unless you're going to trade a Nico Horner. You're going to trade some of these guys. There's nowhere for the prospects to go. You don't want to just waste good years.
You also have something in baseball that I like to talk about with tradable prospects, where they never actually make the big league level because their value is so high, at least on your club, as prospects. And then those are usually traded away for bigger names that are at the big league level.
Yeah, it's all relative, right? Like who you have in your farm system. And that's why you almost get punished to a sense if you don't know what you're doing and if you don't have the need for more guys. If you have several top flight prospects who have reached the AAA level, now it's like, well, we either got to pay these guys or we got to move them. And other teams now who are looking at your prospects are like, oh, yeah, we want your second and third best prospect, which are more major league ready than in a lot of organizations where those prospects would be maybe at the low, high, or double A level.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's a factor. But I just, for Jed Hoyer, I think he's trying to make the playoffs and keep his job. I think those are two very much aligned things.
Oh, yeah, I think trying, for whatever reason to me, keeping the job, trying to keep the job is a different connotation of urgency than trying to save the job. Like, one is urgency and one is desperation.
Wait. Keep the job versus save the job?
Yeah. That's just me.
I find them to be synonymous.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I clarified.
Yes. My bad. Yeah, if that's the way you want to look at it. But yeah, Jed Hoyer's got time. Not a lot of time, but I heard that a year is a lifetime. He's got a whole season to figure it out. Well, a season minus 2 games.
I think that guy did keep his job already in advance.
Did he keep it or save it?
A year is a lifetime.
Did he keep it or save it, Ryan Poles?
I mean, it depends on when you're asking. If it's November of last year, save?
When he fired Matt Eberflus? Well, when they fired Matt Eberflus? Because there was somebody in the room saying, don't fire Matt Eberflus right now.
Which I'm pretty sure it was George McCaskey.
I'm 99% sure.
Speaking on behalf of the family.
On behalf of the... We don't do that. Sometimes drastic measures need to be taken.
I need to look into...
It is long overdue!
I need to look into the Jamer Candelario trade that the Cubs had a couple years ago and see how those guys are doing.
847 with a good comment here. Do you mean trying to keep or save your job versus doing your job?
Yeah, there's that too. 217, very funny.
Yeah,
the putt on the Angels starter's name. I don't know how you get around that. I just don't.
All right, so we're going to take a break and try to switch things up to this gambling thing because I heard it's popular. To put money
if
on
only
contests.
There was a weekend where you could have a lot of games that you might have some interest in.
Joe Ostrowski is going to join us next to talk about all things gambling in this weekend. That's coming up on Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
And that's a lot of value on a very talented team.
Getting you ready for your wagertainment weekend.
The public's been killing the books.
Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him.
With Bernstein and Harris.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
On the score. Score. Score.
So much money to be got on a weekend such as this. You know, the first week of the NCAA tournament. And for more on that, joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is the host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. That would be Joe Ostrowski. You can find him at social media over on the Artist, formerly known as Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski. Download the Circa Sports app today. Joe is out here doing the thing that he does. He's at BetMGM Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay. Joe, hello, and how are you holding up on this big week for you and your industry?
I'm holding up. Yesterday was a lot of fun. I think you guys probably say this after a visit to Vegas. How do people actually live here all the time? But it's a lot of fun. Yesterday we were spent going up and down a number of sports books, and I knew this bet was popular, and I don't even bet on it, but it's become my favorite thing just to watch in the sports book. So the most popular bet is first to 15. The first team to get to 15 points. And everybody in the house, no matter what book you're at, they all bet the underdog. Paul Aspen, who you guys both know, he's right over here. He bets
what
these
up, Paul?
Two.
Hi, Paul.
Omaha. He hit Omaha last night on the first and 15 against St. John's, but they would go on and get destroyed in that game. But yeah, yesterday, a lot of fun. I think it was kind of boring. I'm like, where's the chaos? We got it with McNeese State, but maybe we end up getting it today, or I think there's a good chance we'll get it on Saturday.
I did like the drama that was surrounding the, well, actually, like, the predictors were correct. You know, typically with Cal and Kansas, you think there would be some bias, right? Arkansas and KU. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it was a great game. And it was competitive the entire time. And even the first half was something to enjoy.
Yeah. I thought there were a good number of blowouts, but there were some decent ones. And that was one of them. And that sets up an awesome coaching matchup. A couple of Hall of Famers in the next round. So, you know, even though we still need another round of games before we get to the Sweet 16, I think this weekend is going to be phenomenal. But we've got a bunch of games today to address as well.
I don't know if you can see, Joe, what I'm wearing, But my team's playing today. No one likes them, and that's fine. That's good. Are there teams that you're looking at today that you've kind of let it settle and say, I definitely, this is who people need to have money on?
As far as the point spread, I think there's more tomorrow. Today, there are some that are probably going to be blowouts.
Okay.
Likely with Duke. We'll get the news on Cooper Flagg. I don't think he should play. I don't know why he would play today, but he was out there yesterday saying that he was close to 100%. That number is just so large. It's tough to bet on a team and say you got to win by 33 for me to win your wager. That's tough. I've talked to a lot of people, respected people that like Bryant going up against Michigan State. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but just keep it within 16, 17 points. In the early slate, yeah, we just got Baylor and Mississippi State. That's underway now. I think Lipscomb has a chance to hang around against Iowa State. A lot of times in the tournament, it matters if you can make your free throws. Lipscomb is one of those teams. Pretty good offense. Don't turn the ball over. So I think they can keep it, you know, within 14, 15 points, and that's where the number is set there. The most popular bet I actually agree with. Usually I run for the hills when I hear that a bet is really popular. North Carolina. Everybody is betting on North Carolina. They're the 11, but they're favored over the 6 in Ole Miss, and I understand why. They were torched after the selection show. People didn't think they should be in. They are in, and ever since, you know, if you look since January, they're a much different team. They had tough teams early. They lost to all of them. But you look over the last month, they're a top 20 team in the nation, so they're a favorite. They're getting bet. I do like them against Ole Miss today.
I thought about it, and I just couldn't excuse their record against quad one teams. That's really the most damning stat for them, and it has been ever since Selection Sunday.
Yep, it's fair. It was so bad. It was early. I give them not a pass. Like, your resume is your resume, but I give them a half of a pass because it feels like it's the Izzo thing. Like, okay, let's play all these tough teams early on. Let's figure out what we are, where we need to improve, and they've done it. BartTorvik.com, that's another one of these analytical sites that people cite like KenPom. You can kind of figure out, okay, how have you been the last month? Well, his site says they're the 12th best team in the country in the last month. So they've really turned it on. It's just they've had their issues with Duke, like many others.
Well, do you see them advancing past the second round, North Carolina, if they match up, for example, with Iowa State?
Yeah, I could see that. It wouldn't surprise me. So before that first four game the other day, they were North Carolina to make the Final Four. It was 55-1. So then they destroy San Diego State, and the reaction was, whoa, maybe this is a team we should support. Look at how they're playing right now. That went down to like 20-1. From 55-20 after just one play-in game.
That's insane.
That is wild.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Illinois? They play tonight, obviously. They're in Milwaukee. You know, that's practically a home court when you consider how the tournament works.
Mm-hmm. They're betting Illinois this morning. So in the last hour or so, we were tracking it at the end of our show. And when you look at the odds board, it kept flashing. It kept flashing because people are betting Illinois. It went from 3.5 all the way up to 4.5. But something that we were looking at is just the total. Expect points in that game. That total is moving up. It's just such a fast pace. That's what we're expecting there. Last I saw was about 161. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise us if that game's in the 90s.
Okay, so we saw a couple of upsets yesterday. Any big movement as far as getting now to the Sweet 16 for the upset guys when you talk about McNeese State and Drake?
As far as next round?
Yes.
Yeah, so I was looking at the numbers that we have for these matchups on Saturday, and it's going to be fun. A lot of great coaching matchups, but I like a lot of underdogs, guys. A few that stand out were McNeese was one of them. They were bet early against Purdue. Yesterday, High Point was super popular. Like, everybody was going nuts at the sports books for High Point. Everybody betting them. I was talking to some odds makers, and they're like, everybody's betting High Point. Where are they? Has anybody seen them play? And nobody really had an answer. Purdue took care of business, but yeah, McNeese, it's an interesting situation with Wade leaving. but they were bet immediately. That number's down. Purdue's a 5.5-point favorite against McNeese. As far as other underdogs, I think Gonzaga's live. I think the Zags are live against Houston with an opportunity to pull off the upset there. That number's also 5.5. Cronin's been here in the past. You've got Cronin go against Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes fails at some point in the tournament every single year. And so UCLA, a 4.5-point dog there. I like them. St. John's, they had their first half struggles again yesterday. They come back, but wouldn't surprise me if Coach Cal in Arkansas hangs around in that one. That one's 7.5.
Yeah, UCLA made short work of Utah State. Mm-hmm. Like that was a team where I thought to myself, oh no, have they been underseeded again when it comes to the team on the court?
Yeah. Did you guys make a prediction? Did you fill out a bracket?
So I did. I have U of H going to the Final Four, so I hate your concept, but I completely understand why it could be the case. I feel like Tennessee and Houston are mirror images of each other at times and how they're constructed. You know, both those guys love defense, and they will coach the offense out of their teams.
I'm not a party pooper, Joe. I'm a party non-participator. I don't do brackets. I haven't done them in over a decade. But what I will say is, I did pick Alabama to win it all because I like their path and obviously the team that they are. I'm more concerned right now with the NBA because I know you probably are aware that the Bulls won't pick a lane as far as tanking, not tanking, and everything else. And I just in the NBA, I'm curious with all this NCAA stuff going on, and obviously people are getting a lot of looks at prospects right now, guys who could be in the NBA draft and be at the top of the draft class, if you will. Cooper Flagg is obviously at the top. I'm wondering, in the NBA right now, have the odds changed much as far as who's got a chance to win a title, or is that pretty much holding steady as we're kind of coming down the home stretch of the regular season?
A little bit of an adjustment. So it's been neck and neck throughout most of the year with OKC and Boston. But now if you look at it, they've moved the Thunder up to the favorite. BetMGM has +185 the Thunder. The Celtics +220. So all year it's been pretty much, okay, they're the best in the West, best in the East. These are the top two favorites. They're on a tier by themselves. Then it drops to Cleveland as the third favorite. They're 5-1. Lakers love is real. They're 7-1, but you find different numbers, different sports books that you jump around. So, yeah, a little bit of a switch there as OKC's jumped ahead of Boston. And the Lakers surge, that's all recent stuff ever since the trade deadline. We certainly understand why. There was a lot of Warriors love. That's calmed down a little bit. So some sports books have a much lower number on the Warriors. If you don't believe in OKC, the conversation is, okay, if you don't think it's the Thunder, then it's wide open. It could be a handful of teams that represent the West.
I wonder what the Warriors' love will look like now that Steph Curry took that nasty fall last night and people are wondering about his future. And obviously without Steph Curry, it's a non-starter if talking about championship talk for the Warriors.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. So are you looking at the Bulls make playoffs number?
I've accepted the Bulls are going to make the playoffs. I don't know what their odds look like, but I've accepted the Bulls are going to make the playoffs because they're playing very well, and everyone else is so much better than them at the idea of actually tanking in season.
The odds are still saying that they're not going to make it.
Really?
So
I can get good odds right now on the Bulls making it. Maybe I'll sign up for that.
You can get 4-1, 5-1.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're saying they're not going to make it. If you think, you might as well.
Yeah, those are good odds. That's a good number.
I also want to ask you about MVP. Has there been any movement there?
Yeah, so it certainly felt like it was just about a wrap. It's been a two-player race for a while. It's been all SGA. It's been a two-player race with him and Jokic. Right now, BetMGM has SGA -800 guys. +450 for Jokic, and that's it. They put a number on Giannis, but that's it. And it's 500-1, so it doesn't really matter at this point in the season. So it's one of the two. It seems like it has shifted all to SGA.
It used to be in favor of Jokic.
Yeah, it's crazy because Jokic is technically having his best statistical season this year compared to his other MVP seasons.
So you have the team success, number one seed. They're the favorite to win the title. And I know We all hate this conversation because it should be about who deserves it the most, but people get sick of it.
Yeah.
Let's do somebody else.
Wait, on that note, who are your coach of the year candidates here?
Where we're at for coach of the year. I would think, let me pull that up real quick. It's, yeah, Atkinson's a massive favorite. So with the, it's always with coach of the year, NFL, NBA as well. A lot of times it ends up being exceeding expectations, and they have an elite record. So that makes sense to me with Atkinson.
And one more question, because Victor Wembanyama is not eligible for Defensive Player of the Year. Who's now in the lead on that?
Yeah, that was a massive switch there once we got the announcement of that injury. It's Mobley, but that's still a toss-up. They kind of don't really know.
Team success. They're
putting the shortest numbers on Mobley. Right, like who else from that team is going to win an award? Probably nobody. Right now it's Mobley, and Draymond Green is the second favorite. Those are the close. Dyson Daniels is the third favorite, but it seems like it's down to Mobley or Green. They're kind of saying, I don't know, flip a coin.
All right. Well, we appreciate you stopping by, Joe Ostrowski. I know you're going to have a wonderful weekend one way or another in Las Vegas. And what you said at the beginning of the segment just reminds me, that's why I have a 72-hour rule when it comes to going to Las Vegas.
That's good. That's good. I know. With some people here on the trip, they're doing 4 nights. I'm like, what? I'm not doing 4 nights. I'm not built like that anymore.
That is beyond aggressive. Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. We will see you next time, Joe. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, when we come back, it's time for High Noon. Are you feeling unhappy? If you are, that's perfectly normal. I'll explain why.
I have the quietest quiet quitter who ever quitted.
Okay, we'll quit together. That's coming up on Bernstein and Harris, 670 Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Yeah, it's about that time on this Friday where we recap what's happened so far. We talked Bulls and their big win over the Sacramento Kings and former Bulls DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. Then we heard from Joe Cowley, who just took a blowtorch and explained why he thinks Patrick Williams, he's done with him. Also, we talked a little NCAA tournament as well, celebrating the wins, the upsets, Drake, McNeese State, big winners on day 3 of the NCAA tournament. And we took a spin on the old Cubs meatball machine. And Joe Ostrowski joined us to talk a little gambling. That was all up until this very moment.
Losing machine. It's
time. We also did an impromptu belch comparison, which was a fun part of the show. So this is from the Daily Mail. And the reason I say that is because of the sub headline, which was pretty funny. Man who skipped work for 6 years was only rumbled. That means found out in British slang.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's
Did you know that before you read the article?
I did not. I had to look it up because I was like, what is this crazy use of this word? Man who skipped work for 6 years was only found out when he was set to win an award for his length of service with the company.
Wait, what?
Hell yes. Yeah.
The quietest quiet quitter who ever quit. I said quitted earlier, but that was for dramatic emphasis. He had avoided going to work for 6 years, and he was nominated for a Diligence Award. And the wild part is not even that part of the story. It's his field of service. He's an engineer, like a civil engineer. And it was in Spain. His name is Joaquin Garcia. And I love how the Daily Mail put it. This is a really British written story because they were like, in a ruse that could come straight out of a U.S. sitcom, Joaquin Garcia from Spain simply stopped going to work because he claimed that he had no work to do and felt, quote, bullied. The dude was 69 and he was due to receive an award for long service on his 20th anniversary with the company. They found out he had been gone for 6 years. So they have a nickname for him. In Spanish, it sounds so cool. El Funico Audio Fantasma, which means the phantom official.
Because he was never there.
Right, did I say that right?
The whole time he wasn't there.
Funico Audio Fantasma. I've heard of Grupo Fantasma, but never this. So anyway, there was a salary mix-up between the two departments he was working for. He was an engineer assigned to oversee a wastewater treatment plant.
What?
So this how is, do you not
show? He diligently didn't show up to work. That's what the only thing he was being diligent
here's
about.
Here's why: the two departments he worked for assumed the other was overseeing his duties. The water board believed that Mr. Garcia was the responsibility of the city council, who thought he was working for the water board.
This is disturbing on so many levels.
So then they want to give him this award and a medal for his 20 years of service, and they couldn't find him.
This is literally a side plot in the movie Eurotrip, where one of the characters goes to Europe and he's interning for this law firm, but he doesn't tell the law firm that he's leaving the country, and he's taking calls on his phone and claiming that he's still there and blaming stuff on other people, and he ends up getting a promotion at the end.
How do you do this for 6 years? This is like living a double life to me. So he says, I wonder what they tried to find him at his desk and he wasn't there. And the guy who tried to give him the award goes, I wondered whether he was still working there. Had he retired? Had he died? But the payroll showed he was still receiving a salary. I called him up and asked, what did you do yesterday? The month before that? He didn't know what to say.
Scotty doesn't know. I only said that because the Eurotrip reference. But yes, no one knows, apparently.
I went to a speakeasy in Charleston called Scotty Doesn't Know. It was fantastic.
Did they play Scotty Doesn't Know?
I would expect him to play nothing but that song
versions. Because remember, they're like different versions.
I don't know how I came across this gem of a place. Like, we just stumbled into a dude who claimed to be selling ice cream, and then little did we know what was behind the door. That's another story for another day.
I like,
but this is amazing. And then one guy involved in the story did say, "Is this guy George Costanza? This seems like a plot straight out of Seinfeld."
All right, your story's a lot happier than my story.
But how, I mean, that is, we talk about Secure the Bag All-Stars.
Yeah.
Old Phantasma over here was definitely doing that.
Hall of Fame. All right, this story coming from Fortune.com. I read this story 1,000 different ways, and I was like, this is probably the best way. Here's the lead. The United States has a happiness problem. In the World Happiness Report,
now you find that out.
Annual
now?
Ranking of the happiest countries, the U.S. has dropped to number 24 in the world from 15 last year. By the way, the lowest position in the list's 13-year history. Last year, the U.S. dropped out of the top 20 for the first time. The list is compiled from analysis of how a representative sample of residents from over 140 countries rate their quality of life. Here's a quote from Jan Emanuel Deneve, professor of economics at the University of Oxford. That gradual decline in well-being in the United States is, if you start digging into it, especially driven by people who are below 30. Life satisfaction of young people in the U.S. has declined. Now, if you were to only assess those below the age of 30, the U.S. wouldn't even rank in the top 60 happiest countries, the report finds.
Because Gen Z knows what's up.
It's the same reason for the U.S.'s dramatic drop last year from 15 to number 23, but the continuous decline is concerning, researchers note. Quote, it is really disheartening to see this, and it links perfectly with the fact that it's the well-being of youth in America that's off a cliff, which is driving the drop in the rankings to a large extent, end quote. The U.S.'s ranking is also explained by larger inequality compared to Nordic countries like Finland, number one, Denmark, number two, and Iceland, number three. Quote, in these Nordic Scandinavian countries, a rising tide lifts all boats. So the levels of economic inequality are much less, and that reflects in well-being as well. In Finland, most people will rate their happiness 7 or 8. Whereas if you look at the distribution of well-being in the States, there's a lot of 10s out there, but there's a lot of 1s as well.
The 10s are just the ones in power or don't have money problems.
Exactly.
Or say aren't working multiple jobs to pay rent and groceries.
Yes.
When grocery haul videos become the flex, something is not going well.
The report focused more this year on the strength of a country's social support and how much people trust in others, a key predictor of personal well-being. In 2023, nearly 1 in 5 young adults in the U.S. said they had no one they could count on for support. And in the U.S., the number of people dining alone has increased by 53% since 2003. That's the number of shared meals across a week. It's a new data point in this year's report that correlated to positive well-being, according to Deneve. Quote, you see an extraordinary increase in dining alone over the past two decades in the U.S. It's the fact that people are increasingly on their own, isolated. Their political thinking, their theories around life and society are no longer tested by others. In our echo chambers, we develop these notions that others are to be distrusted and we must mistrust others, and migrants eat cats and dogs and all that kind of stuff. As a result, we start believing these things, and the way we've picked up on that is really acute, end quote. So basically, people are unhappy, and if you're older and you're pretty happy, that probably means you're economically well off. You might want to talk to your kids or your kids' friends, because they're probably not.
I was told that all I needed to do to buy a house was stop buying avocado toast. I did that like 5 years ago. Now what?
Well, maybe start selling avocado toast or run an egg market or something. I don't know what to tell you, Layla.
I got
to
grow an avocado tree.
Me, I'm a guy with four jobs, so thankfully I can buy groceries because I have four jobs and work too much.
You and I are fans of having multiple jobs. This is the truth.
At all times. So,
but
yeah.
That's kind of indicating our point here.
I would say this. Love your neighbor, you know, act with grace, and try to be a joy to someone today. Be a day maker. Make someone's day.
And if that doesn't work, then just disappear from your job for 6 years.
Well, you can do that as long as those paychecks keep coming.
It's heroic, honestly.
The best part is the bureaucracy.
Way to stick it to the man.
One department was doing... One department thought it was one department's responsibility. The other one thought it was the other. That is tremendous.
That only works out when both departments lose track of you. I've been in situations where you work for two different departments and it usually doesn't end well for the employee, but this is the perfect situation.
I can confirm that, Marshall. Back to you.
All right, back to football. We're going to talk about the mock draft era because it is here, ladies and gentlemen. Brad Biggs has unveiled his mock draft 1.0.
Yeah, Brad doesn't mess around. Like, he's not doing a mock draft until it's time.
I'll tell you, the guy that you thought the Bears might have at 10 was there in the mock draft, but he was not selected by the Bears in the mock draft.
Who was he?
I will tell you. On the other side, it's Bernstein and Harris featuring Layla Rahimi right here on 670 The Score.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.